Round one.
Hi, this is Hans.
Hey, it's Hector.
And we're here with another edition of the podcast.
And this is the one, we haven't done one in about 3 or 4 weeks because we've been actually busy making the game. So there's going to be quite a bit of information that we're going to let loose on this one. And we've decided to bring in a couple of special guests because we know that that's everybody's favorite part of the show.
Yeah, people who actually work on the game and actually know what's going into the game.
Yeah.
As opposed to us who just ramble.
You ramble. Everything that I say has like deep, deep layered meanings.
Oh, that's okay. Right, because you are Hector the Man Sanchez.
But honestly, though, we do have two of the coolest guys on the MK team today. We have Steve Baran is here, Mr. Old School MK himself.
Yep.
And we also have Dave Pindara, who's a new guy to the MK team, but is just as important as every other member on the team as well.
Right. I think more so in some cases, yeah.
Even more so. So, hey, so say hi, Steve and Dave.
Hello, how are you?
Hello.
It's such a weird setup in here today. Steve and I are actually in a different room than Hans and Dave this time, so forgive us if this is a little disjointed than our normal podcast.
We're kind of like turning around and trying to peek through this little window to see what the other guys are doing.
I see Dave.
I see Steve.
Hey, Dave.
I see Hector.
Hey.
Hans is in front of me.
Hiding.
First things first, let's talk about what you guys do on the game. What are your roles on this current iteration of Mortal Kombat? Steve, you can go first.
Steve, go first.
Hey, I'm Steve, and I am the art director on MK vs. DC, and I've been here at Midway for almost 17 years now.
God, that's a long time.
way too long. Dave?
I'm the technical art lead and the environment lead for MK8.
What does the technical art lead do, Dave?
I make things work. How's that? No, it's really when we have like a problem with material or a texture or something that's a little bit out of the scope of art guy.
Just a little more technical expertise.
Yeah, I can actually talk to programmers and artists at the same time.
Wow.
I can't even do that, but then again, I'm a producer, so.
That's pretty cool. The reason why we wanted to bring Steve and Dave into the show today was to kind of talk about some of the challenges and rewards of working with the DC Universe. Obviously, DC Comics has a long and storied history with their, you know, different kinds of art styles, different kinds of artists' interpretations of their characters, and we kind of wanted to get a conversation going with these guys on how they were able to incorporate the Mortal Kombat art style and implement than on the DC characters. So I guess we can start out asking Steve, what was kind of the biggest challenge that you had starting out with working with the DC license?
No, we knew in the beginning of the game, we knew we wanted to get more of a realistic look. You know, the last few games were looking kind of more saturated and more cartoony than we would like. So with this game, we set out on making stuff realistic and using more digitized textures for the backgrounds and for the characters. And with a character wise, we really focused on material changes. So if something's leather, let's make it look like leather, and if something's cotton, make it look like cotton, and really focus on all the wrinkles and all the nooks and crannies and all the dinks in the metal. And the same thing is with backgrounds, is we really focused on all the details, like cracked cement and, water effects and, just really getting in there. And that's something we could never do in previous games. With Unreal, we can, really push it.
And definitely have more of the tools to help you out now.
Yeah. And, bringing Dave on, too. Dave worked on Stranglehold, so he had a lot of Unreal.
John Woo presents Stranglehold.
John Woo, sorry, messed it up. But Dave brought on that technical knowledge that we really needed, and really pushed how we can make our game look better and better.
Yeah, Dave, how was that working from going from the whole the John Woo universe into the DC universe? I mean, John Woo's obviously been, it's very grounded in reality, to then to come to this kind of fantastical universe of DC and Mortal Kombat. How were you able to do that transition?
Actually, it worked out really well because there was a lot of the MK guys were kind of knew their universe and knew what they've been doing for I don't know, how long have you been doing MK games now?
Since 92, or wow. 91, yeah.
And then,
since the beginning.
So coming in from Stranglehold, it was like, which was really kind of rooted in a real world universe, I got to bring like a different kind of perspective to things. And to be quite frank, I didn't really know a lot about the MK universe in the background and all the history that came with it. So it was actually kind of nice to get in there. And I'm a big comic book fan, too, so I got to bring a lot of that to the table.
Yeah, how were you able to incorporate your background knowledge in comics into the game? Like, give us a couple of cool Easter eggs that you were able to be like, hey, I'm drawing Metropolis. I've always thought that this mailbox should look this way. Or
well, you know, if you tell...
Metropolis is known for their mailboxes.
Yeah. Yes, they have mailboxes and newspapers. Don't forget the newspaper boxes.
That's right.
No, well, A, if they're Easter eggs, we can't really say that.
That's true. I'm
that
sorry.
Takes away the Easter
well,
egg
you know,
part.
The fans, they dissect everything that we say, so give them a little hint. Tease them a little bit, Dave. Tease them.
Let's see. If you look around in the corners of the Batcave, you'll see a couple of interesting things tucked here and there. OSNN has some really nice stuff up above the walls, so you got to kind of peek around and look around when you get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just making, there's a lot of things that the fans, the DC fans would really enjoy, you know, that are part of the, what's the word I'm looking for?
The mythology?
Mythos.
Yeah, you know, that goes with all of the DC characters. Mm-hmm. So, and they all have their own unique kind of features. So having them in the world and actually putting them inside a game is not only a challenge, but it's actually really kind of rewarding for the fans.
That's the trick with this game, too, is that fans on both sides are so dedicated, and you know, you'll get lynched if you you know, stray from
trying to find that balance to make everybody happy.
Exactly, and you know, and both sides are so devoted. You know, the MK fans and the DC fans. So we really had to stick to the details and not stray, you know, too far away from, you know, what people are used to.
Yeah, if you make a mistake, somebody's going to call you out on it, pretty much.
Exactly.
About it.
Yeah.
And for continuity's sake and everything. That's not what the Guardians of the Galaxy actually look like. And, you know, mm-hmm. I can't believe these guys did it this way. Yeah. Totally. So, I mean, that's exactly. Got to be a lot of pressure. I mean, these are $2 billion franchises with, like, you know, years and years of history. How did you guys sleep at night knowing that all of this responsibility rested on your shoulders and hands?
Sleep? What's that?
Making the MK characters, you know, we know how to design those, and, you know, we know what, you know, Scorpion would wear, and we know, you know, what our characters would, you know, should look like. But mm-hmm. with the DC characters, you know, we kind of worked back and forth with DC on, you know, costume designs and, you know, materials, and you know, it all worked out pretty well. You know, I think all the characters look like they belong together, and, you know, none of the backgrounds look like out of place. You know, Metropolis looks like it belongs in the game. You know, looks like it belongs in an MK game, and, you know, vice versa.
I think a lot of people have been coming up, you know, asking us a lot of times, like, you know, how can MK guys do this on the DC world, and how, you know, where are they coming up with these things? And what they don't really understand is that we are working really close with the DC guys and going back and forth with a lot of revisions and feedback.
I was just going to go through that we had a lot of people from DC that really got interested in how we were doing things and got to review a lot of our progress as we went through the game. Mm-hmm. And so it was really nice to have that feedback for directly from DC, as well as, you know, Ed and Steve and Mike and Tony and all the guys that were there doing the art previously to comment on all the MK side worlds.
Yeah, that had to be interesting working with a lot of these different kind of elements, especially when you're doing art. Art is such a subjective kind of medium, to have people say, no, we want it to look this way and we want it to look that way.
It's the MK team, don't forget.
You know? That's true.
And so the MK team is like, you know, the number one team. So it was really kind of, you have to please everybody all the way around.
That's true, man. I guess the standards on working this team are almost insurmountable at some point. You want to be the best, and everybody kind of strives to be the best, and you can't really rest on your laurels of being the best all the time. You always have to try to improve. So,
well, you got
to
keep pushing the envelope.
Yeah, you know, when I came on the team, the first thing I said to Ed was, no matter what happens, no matter what we got to do, this has to be the best looking Mortal Kombat game ever. Mm-hmm. And I think we did a really nice job getting that done.
Yeah, and on the programming side too, we have some of the best, you know, technical guys out there, you know, like John Greenberg, mm-hmm. and, you know, the rest of the guys, they really, you know, ask us what we want and, you know, what tools we need. And, you know, we go back to them and say, okay, we need this, 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 and this. And they do anything they can to,
they make the impossible possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And to give us, you know, huge texture budgets and polygon budgets that we can really make things look exactly the way we want.
Yeah, one of the biggest questions that we've gotten as we've been kind of touring around the country over the last couple months trying to promote this game is a question about a return to digitized characters. You know, you can set the record straight right now, Steve. Are we ever going to see a return to that kind of digitized character look?
Putting him on the spot here now.
I'm putting him on the spot.
Yeah, actually, I'm all all for it. You know, we need, not in the 2D sake, but you know, I'm all for, you know, digitized textures. Period. You know, mm-hmm. just on the characters, not so much the old school
2D.
You know, let's film these guys and cut out the images and mm-hmm. and you know, slap them on the game, but. I'm all for, you know, using digitized reference as much as possible.
Oh, that would be great. We do one the next game. We do exactly like we're doing ahead, like right now, do a mm-hmm. giant 3D version, and then give people the option to watch the 2D digitized version of the exact same.
Don't say that, man. People will call us out and be like, oh, my God, did you hear what Dave said?
They're going to do it. That's going to be on the next one. Watch.
The next game is going to be so awesome.
I'm all for it.
What was your favorite kind of, like, moment where you were doing it and it was actually like, wow, I can't believe I'm actually doing this?
I think once I saw the finished Metropolis background, it was like, wow, this is you know, really working out the way we hoped it did. Mm-hmm. You know, when Dave pulled me in and, you know, got, you know, showed me the final lighting pass, it was like, wow, this is the way it should look. You know, it's mm-hmm. it looks real.
It was just a really good indicator of where things were going and how things were going to proceed.
Yeah, seeing Metropolis, you know, destroyed and seeing how the characters went in and out of the light was pretty amazing. You know, we have a really elaborate lighting system, and Aaron Hall, he's the lead lighting.
Yeah, you know, Aaron deserves a small round of applause.
You know, golf clap here for him.
Aaron's a new member to the team. Well, he's been on since day one for this project, but he's just an amazing guy. Just did miracles for this game. And mainly in lighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what Steve is referencing is, you know, especially in Metropolis, there's kind of a lighting setting where you can see the shadows of the buildings. They're actually, if you're fighting, you know, within the shadow of a building, you can see it cast on the characters right. themselves. And as you're walking in and out of the light, you can see the kind of detail. I mean, it looks real, and it's something that I've, you know, it's really, when you pay attention to the detail that these guys have put into this game, it really does blow your mind. And I know that Dave has had a really, really, really tough assignment kind of put in front of him, because not only are the arenas used for in-game, we're also using them as the stages for our cinema scenes. Right. So yep. not only do the stages have to be lit as they would be viewed in the fighting arena, we also have to use cinematic lighting elements to kind of help us tell the story, because all of the environments that are in the, save for a few, I mean, there's a couple of cinema-specific environments, but everything that happens in our story mode actually happens as it was happening in an arena right now. So I know that was a huge challenge.
Yeah, trying to keep it all consistent.
And I think probably the biggest challenge also is, you know, MK is a 60 frame a second game.
That's exactly. Right. Yeah. That's not a challenge. That's a selling point, my man. So, you know,
it has to have that feel.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, for us to actually get all the art to fit and work and stream and load and everything on time, it was a real challenge. And we probably spent a good portion of the game, I'll bet you maybe 15-20% of the time, just trying to make things fit and run correctly.
I mean, it shows in the final product. We had a media event a couple of weeks ago out in New York where we actually showed off story mode for the first time. I know a lot of the MK fans have scoured the internet and have seen a couple of those clips, and we've got nothing but positive response back on how detailed the environments look, how detailed the characters look, just how good the game looks in general.
People are, you know, again, like we always say, as people see more and more of this game, the more they realize how cool it really is. Yeah.
One of the other new things that we have in the game is that we haven't really talked about before is the combo challenge, and I don't know if you guys have seen this a little bit, but what the combo challenge is like a series of it's a series of the more advanced
combos.
Yeah,
it's advanced combos, and you can get through it only through the practice mode.
Yeah, so. you go into the practice mode, and it's actually a series of combos that are kind of brought up, prompted on screen that the user has to kind of complete, and when they complete it, there's like this huge confetti explosion. Well, I'm not sure if it's confetti. We're still working on that a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, we haven't done one of these podcasts in a couple weeks, and there's a lot of new things that we want to talk about with you guys. You know, our achievements list did leak out online, you know, that kind of leaked out in advance of when we had kind of planned on going.
Well, it wasn't even the final one. That was the thing, you know.
It wasn't the final one, but at the same time, it was one of those things where it's like we couldn't really get too down about it, and we actually had to embrace it because people cared. Yeah. People cared enough to kind of like search out that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
It was really cool that kind of that kind of started this whole like avalanche of information that kind of got out there pretty much, because through the achievement list we had to kind of verify our character lists and stuff like that. But
make some announcements a little earlier than expected.
Yeah, and you know, on top of that, we were trying to finish the game like right the last 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, Steve and Dave can attest to the enormous amount of pressure that we've been under over the last.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, our whole team's been, you know, living here for months now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
pretty much. So it's been a rough couple of weeks, but we're really happy that with the product, and I don't think anybody would dedicate as much time as they have if they didn't really care about the game. And we really have guys like Steve and Dave to thank about making this game the best that it could possibly be. I mean, it is really going to be awesome. Well, Alex Ross actually was contracted to do the collector's edition of our game, and I know that, you know, Dave, being a huge comic book fan, I'm sure he was pretty excited when he found out that news that we had actually gotten Alex to come in and draw our characters.
That was actually so cool. And the worst part was I kept missing him every time he came in here. Get over here! I'd look up and go, was that Alex? And by the time I got up and looked, he's gone.
Yeah, Alex is, you know, a lot of our artists went to school with him, you know, back in the early 90s. You know, John Vogel and Tony Goski and, you know, a mess of other people. You know, John Tobias, you know, went to art school, American Academy of Art here in Chicago with him, and we're friends. And it was great to bring him in. And, you know, he's so, you know, Alex is just so crazy talented. You know, he's just amazing, actually, just watching him work and, you know, seeing what he came up with in a short amount of time. And it's just a beautiful
it's awesome the work he did. It's like
The collector's edition is going to be pretty cool. You're actually going to be able to have a lithograph that comes in with the it's printed on canvas. It's printed on canvas. It's actually going to be an inset of the Alex Ross art, and I actually saw a prototype of it a little earlier today, and it's like, you know, it's a piece of art. Like, it's something
cool.
It's something that you're going to want to frame and put up on the wall. So,
Okay, so I guess this is the part we start talking about, like, questions off the website, you know, off the forum. So, you know, we got a bunch of questions here from the fans for, you know, Dave and Steve.
Yeah, they took it was like four or five pages worth. We set it up. We were like, hey, we have Steve and Dave on. You guys have questions? And all of a sudden it turned into like the most popular post.
Well, it was like 4 pages in 30 minutes. Yeah. It was like, you know, let's put this up and see what people say. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's like, we got four pages of...
It's like,
I was like, dang.
Questions for Hector and Hans? Zero.
No,
questions for Steve and Dave? A million.
Yeah. They like you guys. They don't like us.
Go for it.
So, let's see. What do we got? Probably have a question for Dave. Here's one that goes, what environment were you most excited about making?
Most excited, definitely Batcave.
The
big
Batcave.
Batman fan. It was a lot of fun. And it was like, okay, you know, you can't do a half-assed job. You got to do a really nice job.
Are you implying that you did a half-assed job on everything else?
No. I mean, from a personal stake, you really got to go.
That was your inner voice talking. That wasn't
Did I just say? I meant to say. No.
No,
we get what you mean. I mean, it's like, you know, you give 100% to begin with, but then it's like, this is something you really have an interest in, so you put the extra mile into it.
Yeah, and actually we wound up with, it was the layout for the arenas in the Batcave were internally designed by one of the guys, and then we farmed out a lot of it to our central group that made a lot of the environment pieces, and then we pulled them all back in, and then we did our own lighting passes and our own effects passes. So it actually turned out really pretty cool.
So you think it's a really good representation of what Batman would have as a Batcave?
You know, I think if we had maybe another couple of months, we could have probably made it even better, but, you know.
Well, that's always a problem, isn't it? You know, not having enough time to do everything we want, so...
What's the coolest piece in the Batcave that you designed? I mean, there's like three levels to it, right? Like there's a lot of intricate elements that are in there. What was kind of the coolest detail that you put in there?
Yeah, up on top, there's like it's his computer room, and it's got like all his extra suits and stuff. And then on the middle one is kind of like an airstrip where we got the Batwing and some other equipment. Then on the lower level, it's like his garage, so we got the Batmobile down there. There's a couple of extra pieces in there, but I really like the airstrip turn out really kind of cool.
The second level is pretty damn cool. There's
just a lot
the Batwing is really damn detailed.
And we got to do like a lot of, you know, because we're in a cave, right? So these planes have to get out of this cave somehow. So there has a lot of like, you know, tunnels that go out. So we got to do a lot of lighting effects coming in through the tunnels and just lighting up the equipment itself. So it looks really cool.
All right. Let's see. We got a question here for Steve.
All right.
Who's the question from? Read off the people's names. That's my favorite part of the forum.
Like Rish Sizzle? I'm guessing that's the name. I probably mispronounced it. And the guy's like,
it might be
R
Shizzle.
R Shizzle. R Shizzle. R Shizzle. whatever it is, I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. But here's a question he's got for Steve.
All right.
What influenced the art direction of the game?
Character-wise, we really wanted to make the characters look more realistic than the last, you know, three games. So we, you know, digitized, you know, a lot of the skin textures are, you know, grabs of people's faces.
This one could actually go for either one of you. It's from Maria?
Yeah,
Sunderland?
Maria Sunderland.
Maria
that,
Sunderland.
She's the one that actually drew that scorpion on Superman in the Living Forest.
Come here!
Next to the park. Cool. She's actually a pretty she makes a lot of MK fan art, so
yeah,
props to Maria Sunderland.
Very good work.
Very cool. So the question is, and this is like to each of you guys, what were the biggest achievements for you guys in the game? I mean, like, was there anything in particular that was like, as she puts in quotes, now that, among all, is what I'm proud of the most?
I'll take a swing at this real quick.
I got one, too.
I got to work on an MK game. How cool is that?
Nice.
I mean, really and truly, I mean, to me, that was the best thing. We got to really be part of this from the ground up, and it was so cool to just go through every environment and make everyone from both sides of the world. It was great.
Steve?
There was a bunch of, like, really good moments. Like, I think the first time I saw Metropolis, I was like, wow, this is, you know, we've hit the mark we were shooting for background-wise. You know, just there's so much detail in there that, and then the lighting is just, that was one of the points in the game where I was like, wow, that's, we did something right. Mm-hmm. And then, character-wise, I was really, really happy with the way the damage turned out on a lot of the characters. You know, you know, Ripcloth and seeing
the bruising. And
the bruising.
Cuts.
Yeah. And just there's a lot of details going on in there. So, like, when you do, when you win a match, it's cool when you see the camera zoom up on the characters and see all the detailed damage. Like in Scorpion, you can see, you know, he has a hole in his chest and you can actually see his rib cage. And and the same is with his back. You can actually
see
a hole and can see his, like, spine, and just a lot of cool detail going on there. So that's one of the highlights.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to mention another thing about the lighting while we're at it. You know, we went through, and this is kind of like geek info for everybody. When we started off,
Bread and butter, man. It's our bread and butter.
You know, we're using the Unreal Engine, and so we're using the Unreal lighting system. Mm-hmm. And then probably about a year ago, it was decided that for a lot of the environments that we were going to wind up using Turtle, which is a third-party developer that has lighting inside there. Mm-hmm. And the quality of the lighting was really nice because we got, like, individual light maps for everything. So that looked really good. And then the company that makes Turtle made Beast, which integrates right into Unreal. So now we do all the lighting for the environments with Beast. It looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I remember when you guys started doing that, and you could definitely tell the difference.
Yeah, and just to give you an idea, from all the levels that are in the game, we only got Beast integrated into the game maybe less than half a dozen months ago.
Yeah.
So
it was a fast implementation, but I think it was worth it.
Yeah, it came out great.
Got
some more questions for these guys? Let's give them a hard one.
A hard one. Let's see. I hate this because I'm going through this and reading them and like, is this hard?
Here, let me take a look.
Oh. why don't you just pick one, Dave, since you have the list. Is there one you want to answer?
Yeah.
We're just going to go through and pick one out for Steve.
Okay, are you going to pick one for Steve?
Steve. Hi, Steve. I can actually see Steve through the little window over there. Mm-hmm. For Steve, what was your favorite character design with MK and DC? And was it easy designing most of the DC characters? Because they already had a look that you really couldn't stray from. And that's from Ice God.
Yeah.
All capital letters.
Ice God.
Ice God.
On the DC side, I have to say I was most excited about Deathstroke.
Deathstroke wins.
Just because he has a lot of cool weapons. You know, he has guns, swords, daggers, grenades, and just a lot of cool, like...
And his fists, man.
And his fists, which is... Yeah. No, he just has a lot of cool detail that really showed off how much we could do with the Unreal Engine. And he's just a cool character. He's kind of like the, you know, Boba Fett of DC. You know, he's just a really cool looking character. And on the MK side, I would have to say Sonya.
Sonya wins.
Actually turned out, I think, to be one of the best looking characters in the game, done by Kai.
Mm-hmm.
He's,
Kai and Mando is another one of our superstar artists. We got a lot of talented people on the team.
Total rock star. Talented. Mm-hmm. Total rock star.
But I think she, the design was, it's a fresh new design for her, and she came out, you know, she's like one of the most detailed characters in the game.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
So there you have it.
There you have it. Sonya and Deathstroke. Next question.
Next question. All right, this one's for Dave. I got one for Dave here now. Mm-hmm. This comes from Killer Kung Fu. What was the hardest stage to make and why? Also, there's another part here. Which was the most fun to make?
Oh, two-parter. Two-parter. Yeah. Okay, what was the first part of it?
The first part was, what was the hardest stage to make?
The hardest stage to make was the first level we did that had transitional fighting, which was Metropolis, where you go from one street to the next street, crashing through the buildings. And that's the test your might part of the game.
Test your might.
Right.
And that was by far the most difficult because it was a lot of programming involved to get it done. There was a lot of art to get done. And there was a lot of art to get redone. And a lot of art to get redone. And a lot of art to get redone.
A lot of experimenting and seeing what works. And,
and at the end result is everyone's really happy with it. So that was by far the toughest.
Okay.
If that was the toughest, which was the most fun to make?
Oh, it had to be the island, just because of the water. Because water is fun in games.
Okay. Here's another question. This one's actually for Steve.
Okay.
It comes from Scorpion MKD.
All right.
Since it's a character thing. What shoe size does Scorpion have? This is a really tough question. I know you're going to have to think about this one for a bit.
Wow.
That's a toughie. I believe he's like a size 11.
Size 11? That's U.S. shoe size, right?
Here's fun facts about his shoes. If you can look at the sole of his shoe, he actually has a Scorpion designed.
He's got a Scorpion
into the treads.
He's got a Scorpion on the sole of his shoe?
He does.
So it's trademarked and everything?
Yes. A little fun fact there.
And if you look inside, you may be able to see the tag that has the number.
This is the actual shoe size. Okay, well...
I think he's a size 11.
A size 11.
Yeah. That's right. Lin Kuei size.
Lin Kuei sized. Okay, here's one for you. Another one. But basically it is, what character did you wish to be in the game but did not make it? And this comes from San. Or San.
I know I can't speak for myself on this one, but I know a lot of people on the team wanted...
Dave's upset. He wants you to speak for him as well. He's giving me this look.
A lot of people on the team wanted to see Lobo, but we didn't include him. And
just wasn't in the stars.
Wasn't in the stars. But MK-wise, who would I like to see? Reptile. He could be very cool.
You know, people have been making references because of Snappy the Turtle.
Yeah, that was a fiasco, actually, that whole thing, because it was right around the time. There was actually a video from Leipzig of some MK fan site were interviewing Ed, and they asked him, hey, is there going to be any, like, hidden characters in the game? And he's like, well, what are you talking about? They were like Reptile. And then Ed, like, blatantly on camera, this is before we even announced, like, all the characters, Ed blatantly on camera goes, no, Reptile's not in the game. And, like, that video got out, and it started, like, a massive, like, war, because people were like, no, he's in and he's not. And then right around that time is when we started doing the Snappy the Turtle videos. So people were trying to associate those two together. It was actually hilarious to watch, but I feel bad for all the Reptile fans out there.
I think we need to put Reptile in, and his animality will be turns into Snappy.
Turns into Snappy.
Keep everybody happy.
Downloadable content.
Well, people did even ask that. They go, and once we put that video up, everyone was like, so is Snappy going to be a hidden character? And, you know, we're not talking Reptile. I mean, really, Snappy himself. And we're like,
Could be.
Make Snappy into a character.
Okay, so how was it taking such well-known characters, such as Batman, and putting them in an MK-style game?
It actually wasn't as hard as you would think. Once we got the characters, the first couple characters in the game, it was surprising how they fit together. Like, once we started saying, okay, you know, giving them cloth properties, like, okay, this is leather, this is cotton, this is, you know, they all looked like they belonged together. And with the DC characters, we got to put our own twist on, you know, how they should look. So, you know, we put a lot of seams and, you know, just tried to introduce some armor elements here and there and kind of make them a little bit more MK-ized than what people are kind of normally used to. Mm-hmm. Like Flash, for instance, we gave him some, like, gauntlets and, you know, armbands and kind of put our twist on the DC
look. Version. But, yeah, at the same time, staying true to who the characters are.
Yeah, there definitely was a, you know, a line to walk where you can, you know, kind of push it, but you have to respect
the fundamental design
of it.
And as we made the environments, you know, and the testing tool that we have, the art tool, we can actually load up two characters so that we can test how the characters look in the environment, and we get to look through all the characters. And it was really, I was really kind of surprised at how great, like, the MK characters and the DC characters all fit in all different environments.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was never like a case where you look at this one character and it goes, he looks way out of place for some reason. You
know? Exactly.
All right. This is actually, I got a question here for Dave, which, well, actually, Steve could also answer it, but it's from Buck 50.
Yeah.
Buck 50.
It's a good
UK.
Name.
Good name. 50.
Married to the streets.
Yo. When licensing a third-party game engine, are there textures and templates that you guys work off of, or is everything created from scratch?
Environment-wise, from the ground up, start from scratch. Like, we, you know, but because it's a licensed engine, you know, we can't use any of their data, you know, that they use for sampling, so it's all our stuff. And basically, you know, all the artists have their own tool sets and whatnot, but everybody makes pretty much everything from scratch all the way up.
Yeah, same is true, you know, character-wise. We, you know, worked heavily with John Greenberg, and he laid the foundation of all the tools and all the tricks we could use. We worked with him and got the characters looking the way we want. By a lot of experimenting and, you know, so there weren't really any here, start, you know, use this template and go. It's, you know, it was a lot of experimentation.
Can I see the list? Are there any questions that we can ask Hector and Hans? So how does it feel actually being a producer for Mortal Kombat?
No comment.
That's a really good question. Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of a time when I was about 12. And no, I'm sorry.
What was it like for you guys having to actually work with, like, DC as well as internally with Mortal Kombat? Because I mean, this was really the first time that MK had to do something that was outside of the internal world here. It's actually a license that you had to deal with.
Yeah.
So how did that go?
It's very exciting. I mean, there's a lot to do. There's, you know, obviously, you have to find the balance working with these guys. You know, they have an IP they want to protect. We have an IP we want to protect. You know, it's trying to find that middle ground, and, you know, it's got constant negotiation. But as a whole, it's been great. You know, and, you know, I think the game shows it. You know, when you see the game, you're going to see that it's not going to be one of those things like it's heavily skewed one direction or the other. It's a fair balance show.
Honestly, it was a dream come true. I mean, growing up being a fan of Mortal Kombat and, like, obviously the DC characters, to now telling my friends that I'm actually working on a game where you have Batman fighting Scorpion or Raiden, you know, fighting against Superman is kind of a... It's not even real sometimes. Like, a lot of times when I joke around with my friends and they ask me about work, like, when I tell them stories about what we actually had to do for the day, it was like, yeah, I was on a conference call with the DC Comics, and, you know, they were kind of unhappy with the way Superman's boots look today, so we had to kind of work on that a little bit. They're like, are you serious? Like, that's what you did today at work? And then, you know, those moments I kind of laugh, and I'm like, yeah, I have a pretty kick-ass job. Very high stressful, but the rewards are going to be insurmountable. It's going to be really cool around Christmas time to go around to, like, a lot of my family's houses and see my little cousins and stuff, you know, actually playing this game and, you know, learning for the first time who Scorpion and Batman are. You know, like, they're not really into, they don't really know about Mortal Kombat, because it's not like when I was 12 years old and I was just, like, you know, standing on my tippy toes at an arcade machine checking out what's going on. Now they're actually, you know, at home, and they're not supposed to be playing mature rated games. So now that once this game comes out, they're going to be actually play it for the first time, and they're going to wonder who Scorpion is and who Raiden is. And that's going to going to be really cool to be a part of that and kind of expand our base. And when they get a little older, we'll freak them out with all the violence that we're going to have in the next couple of games.
Hector sing off the side goes, "Are you 18 yet? Are you 18? Okay, let me show you something." Yeah.
Whoa, easy.
That's hey, man, it's your cousins, man. Yeah. And plus, we get comic books, which is cool.
Yeah, that's another perk. It's the DC sends us boxes and boxes of comic books every week, so that's another cool perk.
Yeah,
very cool.
Another update that we have is that the Mortal Kombat Collections is actually out on shelves right now.
Yay.
So a lot of you people that don't have Deception, Armageddon, and Shaolin Monks, three of the best Mortal Kombat games that we have, Shaolin Monks being my favorite of the three, go pick that up right now. It's for PS2. It's $30, and you can't beat it. And playing Shaolin Monks, I don't know, you're getting into that kind of action-adventure mindset.
There's nothing to say right now.
I'm not going
to
go any more with that other than saying that action adventure MK games are awesome and there needs to be more of them. Go ahead.
I'm not going to argue with you on that one.
We also going to have a huge, huge influx of new coverage that's going to be coming out over the next couple of weeks. There's going to be a flood of commercials, and basically MK is going to be all up in your face for the next month and a half as we get ready for this game to come out. So everybody, if you can do it, head out to GameStop, head out to Game Crazy, head out to wherever you go to buy your games and plunk down the $10 and make sure that you get this game, because you don't want to be left out on the day that it comes out, because we're definitely going to sell more than we could possibly imagine on this game with your help.
And one of those things is like you were saying about all these, preview events. I hear that Ed's going to be going out to some of those sites and, meeting up and doing interviews and talking about the game as well. So, definitely keep your eye out and, eyes open, ears peeled, or whatever they want to call it. But, definitely there's more information coming.
Yeah, and if there's ever a lull in coverage, you can always just Google Mortal Kombat and you'll find something interesting somewhere. So keep us up on the game rankings on Google by just typing in Mortal Kombat. We want to be up there, the number one awareness category really soon.
Can we hire an intern to do that? Just keep hitting.
No.
No,
but
okay.
It's cool. Thanks a lot, Steve and Dave, for taking the time out. I'm sorry. I know you guys have work to do.
I just want to say thanks for all the questions, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seriously. Everyone. Thank you to the fans, for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Oh, and I'll throw this in. I got to see the comic book today, and you want to buy the collector's edition.
Oh, it's very cool.
Yeah, that's true. Got to check that out.
Yeah. Great.
Cool. So. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
See you.